Welcome, everybody, to the Lonely TARDIS, your journey through Time Lords and space. Although we probably shouldn't be journeying through Time Lords because that might extremely limit their regenerations. I am Dolly Domofsky, one of the companions on this voyage. Also joining me, the one, the only, Stephen Strum.
Hello, yes, this is the smoking crater where Stephen Strum used to live. The CDC had to nuke me from orbit to keep the plague from spreading.
Stephen Strep, that's actually what we're renaming you to.
Well, every week I got a new nickname, might as well do it this time.
Also joining me, the one, the legend, Marcus Beer.
Bloody hell, what have you been smoking?
Oh, that's my horrible radio voice. I'm drinking is what I'm doing. I guess, yeah.
Great idea.
Sean Norton is not on at the moment, but he will be joining us as the podcast commences. He was at the doctor's for his own illness. I think we're all sick in some way, whether we're sick in the head or just ill. There are some varying levels of illness. But first and foremost, gentlemen, so awesome to be back on the recording, on the airwaves, on the earwaves with you guys.
Yeah. Are you just in pun mode or something? I mean, seriously, what? Like a bad radio DJ, dude, and this is not like, you know, you're making me feel all bar humbug. If this is what Christmas spirit does to you, you need to lock up the liquor cabinet.
I've opened several bottles of new things that maybe those are having an effect on me. Have not spiked any eggnog yet. I'm planning to do so, but we'll see. Steven, likewise, also good to chat with you too, my friend.
Yeah, as much as I can possibly speak to you. We'll see if how many words I get in before my throat gives out completely.
Feel free to mute yourself, or we'll mute you for you.
Oh, you're gonna have to do it because I don't know when it comes. It's like, you know, this isn't a werewolf situation. I can't tell the full moon is hanging.
And I've already muted him because he's been talking. for old time's sake, I've unmuted you, Steve. Oh wait,
God damn it!
And as I said, Sean's joining us in a minute. We are going to talk all about Peter Capaldi. It's great to be back talking Doctor Who. It's been a while because obviously the season ended so many moons ago over the summer. We are back. Christmas special is next week. We're recording this just 5 days, 6 days, 5 days before Christmas. There have been, I guess, some early like press screenings over the last couple days, which we were not a part of, unfortunately. BBC, please contact us. You keep forgetting to do that. But it leaves more for us to be excited about on Christmas Day. So until that day happens, we want to talk about Peter Capaldi. Obviously, Christmas is his final episode as the 12th, 13th-ish Doctor. 12 and a half, we can say. More like 15th at this point. But we want to talk about his legacy, you know, and it, just everything he's meant about, you know, meant to the Doctor Who character. He's been Doctor for about 4 years now. Is that, am I correct? And so he had three full seasons, and then he had 1 year where there wasn't Doctor Who, but he just had a Christmas episode, so.
Yeah, and it kind of depends on how much you want to rate that at this point, now that BBC only puts out one episode every 6 months, so. Yes,
exactly. So yeah, Peter Capaldi. I want to get in first with Marcus. And the reason I want to hear Marcus first is A, he's on his cell phone, so his cell phone could die at any moment. So we better start talking to him first.
Myself fully charged and connected to the internet for Wi-Fi calling, so I've taken all the precautions. So.
But the other major reason being that you and I had we were both really excited about Capaldi taking on this role. We wanted this kind of kick ass, take names later type of doctor. Did you get the doctor that you wanted?
Sometimes. I think that he was, as you know, as we've had with many of the doctors since the reboot. Well, I mean, every doctor has had their ups and downs, but I mean, he really did suffer from a nasty case, especially the first season of Moffatitis, which is a criminal, horrible disease, of which the only cure for is, replacing the Moffat, which has happened. although I have no idea how friggin' useful Chigwell's going to be. Chibnall, whatever his name is. But yes, we missed, you know, we started with a damp squib of an episode. That one, the dinosaur in London, you know, coughing up the TARDIS, and then, you know, robot sandwiches making, you know, people. And that whole, that first season of Capaldi, he was struggling to find his feet. He wasn't helped by a very poor Clara season and just horrible writing from Moffat. I mean, culminating with the end of the season, which was just atrocious. And I mean, you know, we've had more good episodes than bad, I think, since. But we've still not had, you know, we've probably got enough maybe to do one full season of excellent Peter Capaldi, where he's, you know, he's gone from, you know, scary and intense in a calm way to chewing up the scenery, to being funny, to being a quirky alien and the smartest guy in the room, social problems. So, yeah, I think we've had one season in the 4 years of a great Capaldi, in my opinion. And that, you know, that's just, that is not what the Doctor's all about. It's not what Doctor Who's all about. And it's just been more of a Moffat issue than anything else. You can't fault Capaldi. You know, he is a great actor. And he was, you know, he's always wanted this part. I mean, it's just, they should have given him a new showrunner when he took over.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to agree on several of these points. I will say also, Sean, welcome aboard. Sean Norton, everybody, has joined the TARDIS. Welcome back, Sean.
Hey, what I missed. It sounded like Marcus was really happy in recounting just how much he's loved the show. So did I miss that?
No, it was exactly as you said.
Oh, good. I would hate to deviate from that. So
I was just explaining that Capaldi, we were both, you know, we're all very excited for Capaldi, and
yeah,
perhaps not had the Capaldi we have hoped for in regular doses, which I think is a fair criticism. I don't think anybody will disagree with that statement, and I think, you know, we'll just have disagreements over the variances and the regularity of the good Capaldi versus the bad Capaldi.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't know if I'm jumping in and sort of throwing off the
no, that's fine.
Mojo here, but I've been racking my brain the past couple of days trying to think of what my favorite moments were and what I took away from his season, and it struck me more than the last couple of Doctors. I really only had a couple of really key moments that came to me easily without having to go back and see what his episodes were. So I think, to Marcus's point, you know, I think that sort of ties into that, where, you know, we had these moments of brilliance, tied into a lot of stuff that I think left us wanting more, especially in the first half of his tenure. So, but yeah, just as I kind of acclimate to your conversation. So,
Stephen, thoughts?
Yeah, I think Marcus definitely, like, said most of what I was thinking already, and yeah, like, if you pulled everything apart and put it all back together, we would have about one full good season of Capaldi episodes. And I think a large part of the problem with that too is that Doctor Who has always been a pretty uneven show. Like, you know, you can go back to the first season of the new revised stuff, or, you know, go back to the old stuff, and there's a lot of clunkers in there too. But at least back then, there was a lot of more experimental stuff, and you kind of you lost a lot of that with Moffat too this season, or not this season, but during his tenure. His experimental is, he has like one or two good ideas, and then he just repeats on those same themes over and over again until it becomes predictable in a way that became very disappointing over time. And the fact that we were running into the unevenness of the format, the predictability and predictable disappointment of Moffat, and having so few episodes, like, if we had had more episodes in that time, if there wasn't such big gaps between when we get Doctor Who now, and if it wasn't so, you know, even just like one season, the, you know, with a 6 month gap between, you know, six episodes and six episodes, I think we would maybe have more leeway to give to some of the real clunkers, because we would just be able to like move on from it and go on to the next thing. But you really need to knock it out of the park when you're giving us that little over that amount of time. You know, it's an event when Doctor Who comes back, at least for people like us. And we never got that. It never got time to spool up with Capaldi in the chair, and we never got to enjoy that, the whole show running, like hitting the ground running like that. And I think that's something that we had even with the Matt Smith era, for a lot of the Matt Smith era anyway, like his first season five or whatever it was very exciting and, you know, energetic because of, you know, just, it was a new guy after such a big seminal guy like David Tennant, and, you know, Russell T. Davies had obviously done a lot of work just bringing the show back to life, for that matter. So it was an exciting time then, but that ended up eventually petering out too, especially as you got to, you know, even towards the end of Matt Smith's run, missing a lot of air dates and stuff like that, and having really bad Christmas specials and having X, Y, and Z. And yeah, the problems really compounded over time. And it's a bummer. It's a bummer with Capaldi, especially just because he is so good. And, you know, I really liked Bill in this past season as well. Not that, she was the Doctor herself or anything like that, but, you know, just on that same topic, just so much wasted potential with a lot of this stuff, and it is a shame.
You know, I'm going to agree with basically what everybody said so far. From my standpoint, Capaldi was a fantastic Doctor. Is a fantastic Doctor. Obviously, one episode left. And I believe it was a lot of the Moffat issue that, I mean, we're well aware of things that Moffat can do when he sort of tightens the reins too, you know, holds the reins too tightly, or he, you know, ties the hands of the actor. When he does let Moffat kind of do his own thing, or I'm sorry, when he does let Capaldi do his own thing, I think that's when you see the character as, you know, portrayed exactly like we'd hope he would, or very close to what we'd hope he would. And I mean, I was looking back at a lot of the episodes, or actually all the episodes, the list of all the episodes over the Capaldi tenure. And let's just say I'm having a very hard time finding anything that is a Moffat written piece that I consider being good. Yes, there are a couple things here and there, but my favorite from the first season was actually that the ninth episode of that first Capaldi season, which was Flatline. I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
Is that Toby Whitehouse?
Yep, I was going to mention that one too.
No, that was Douglas MacKinnon, actually, and Jamie Matheson.
Jamie Matheson, yeah, okay, yes. I remember that. Yeah.
And I love that episode. I think a lot of us were talking about that afterwards. Even, you know, Mummy on the Orient Express was okay. That was also Matheson.
I thought we really liked that one.
Yeah, we did. And then Robot of Sherwood. I thought that was actually kind of a cute, sort of a more classic, I don't say cute, a classic-ish Doctor Who. That was Geddes. Nothing from Moffat. Listen, going back, I've rewatched Listen, and Listen was one of the ones that I really liked the first season. I made a big case for it. Yeah, I do not like that at all anymore.
Oh, really?
You guys were so right. I am so sorry. Yeah. Capaldi did okay in that. He wasn't even great in that episode. But you look at you look at those three episodes that I named, those were Capaldi being Capaldi as the Doctor, as opposed to being forced to be the Doctor under Moffat's vision.
The Listen has that one good thing where it's like that really great speech about fear and like fear being a superpower and stuff like that, that ties them to a lot of like the Doctor Who mythos of like running away and stuff like that and being like a good, you know, all that kind of stuff and being afraid not being such a bad thing. And that is carried entirely on the shoulders of Capaldi because he's just so good at giving a good monologue here and there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He can really like just chew into a big long string of dialogue when he just has full command over a scene. And but the problem with that episode is that everything else about it is completely nonsense.
Is that the one that inserted her into his childhood?
Yes.
With the nightmare in the shack or whatever.
Danny Pink's somehow time displaced like descendant who doesn't make any sense because Danny Pink is dead before he ever has kids, as far as we know.
Oh yeah, they left that one hanging.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I'm looking back at it now. That episode was really highly rated. I'm going to have to rewatch that. Wait, never mind. Kill the Moon is also really highly rated.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But then you look back at the next season. I think that first season was so hit or miss, mostly miss, because of Moffat. The second season, Moffat started to let Capaldi be his own person. And that came out in the very first episode, which was A Magician's Apprentice, and even The Witch is Familiar, those two episodes. I thought that Capaldi was pretty good. Now that season was also where they did basically a whole season of two-parters.
Yes.
Which I loved, except for kind of Heaven Sent and Hell Bent. They really screwed up. Hell Bent there were so many issues that one. Heaven Sent was great, but
Sorry. No, I really haven't gone in on the titles for a while, and I'm looking back. Do you remember, just to jump around a little bit, do you remember Last Christmas, which...
Oh, God, that was... Oh, man.
Like, it was pretty solid, and it was supposed to be Coleman's, like, swan song, and they had written it. You could tell they wrote it for her to be, like, to leave, and had they actually followed through with it, it would have been this really, like, wonderful in a bittersweet way, like, departure for a companion. And then she's like, actually, I'll do one more. And so they rewrote everything at the last minute, and it just kind of was okay after that. Like, oh man, I forget sometimes all this different Capaldi stuff.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. What was it? Was that like a tangerine that was left on the windowsill?
Yeah, some nonsense.
Are we still in the doctor's? Are we still in the fake dream world?
No, fuck off.
But again, I think this was the season that we really started to see the doctor, Capaldi, be the doctor. And I think the point that a lot of people reference within Capaldi's tenure, they talk about his speech during the Zygon inversion, right? Was it the invasion or the inversion? I can't remember quite which one it was.
I mean, those are two different names of two different episodes.
That was the two.
I know there's two episodes, but I don't remember where
inversion was the second one.
I don't remember which one of those two he did the speech in. I think maybe it was
Inversion, I believe.
Was it Inversion? Okay. But a lot of people reference that speech of that being Capaldi more so than Moffat, because that was written by Peter Harness and Stephen Moffat, that episode. So,
yeah. Speaking of which, actually, from the previous season too, which we didn't really mention, but he co-wrote with Stephen Thompson Time Heist, which I thought Time Heist was okay.
Yeah, that was it. That was all right. That was all right.
I see his like name actually. Now that I look back, like co-writing credits on a lot of these episodes in a way that I don't really remember being the case prior to this. Maybe I'm just crazy because I feel like when they throw those episode titles up on screen, they don't usually show written by blank and blank. They usually show one name.
It's primary credit given during the episode, so yeah, I don't doubt that as the runner, he touched all of them in some capacity, but. I think he kind of laid out the season arcs, and then a lot of writers sort of wrote their own episodes, and he would come in and tell them what needed to be tweaked for the greater Capaldi stuff near the end or throughout. But I think there's a lot of like primary credit and then back end co-writing credit for some of these. So
maybe, like you can take that either way. I guess you can say that like when the episode from a Toby Whitehouse or a Jamie Matheson wasn't as good as it could have been, it's probably Moffat's fault. Or you could also say when one of the episodes was better than we expected, maybe Moffat did have a hand in there, I guess. But I do feel like, especially in the season, in the Series 9, we ran into a lot of episodes, not just with Moffat that were problems, but like Under the Lake and Before the Flood, Toby Whitehouse, some of my favorite Doctor Who episodes came from him, and kind of underwhelmed now that I remember, think back on that two-parter. Like Jamie Matheson, I thought did some really good stuff. The Girl Who Died, I don't particularly remember a ton of
about. That's the Viking one. That was
Oh man, that lady Brad worked for terrible stuff.
Yeah, that's not great. Like I feel like I mean, whatever, we've said this a million times before, like if Moffat is touching all of this stuff and we're getting poor performances from a lot of the people that we have liked in the past, I mean, maybe it is all Moffat's fault. We will probably know next year, I guess.
I'm hopeful. But I will say that the Christmas special at the end of this season, The Husbands of River Song, was It was fantastic. It was one of my favorite episodes. In all of Capaldi's run, definitely all of Moffat's runs. But I thought it was wonderfully done. You know, you had River, the acting was wonderful, and very many levels. So I thought that was a very good kind of ending to that season. Marcus, how did you feel about this Christmas episode? I know we talked a lot about where we needed to kind of put the bow, you know, put the ribbon, the bow on River Song, that story. And I think you had a lot to say about this episode at the time. I think you actually kind of liked it.
Oh, I loved it. It's actually one of my favorite Christmas specials. And one of the, in my opinion, the best Capaldi episode. It highlights everything about him hoped for. He wasn't hamstrung by having Clara around. It tapped back into a bunch of things that we'd heard alluded to in Matt Smith's time, and through some of the Capaldi stuff. The fact that she didn't know who he was and was clueless, and he was having so much fun with that. That was just delightful, and kind of struck me. Reminded me of the episode with Sarah Jane and David Tennant. At first, so there's that little, the Doctor was so delighted to see his former companion, and she didn't know who he was. But this sort of, like, took it to another level. There was just a level of playfulness and intimacy there that they, more than any other Doctor and River, were a married couple. The connection was there, and I think it was, like I said, the best Christmas episode that Capaldi's written, the best that Moffat's written, the best Capaldi episode, period, and probably my second favorite Moffat episode, full stop, outside of Day of the Doctor.
Yeah, I agree with all that. It's some of the absolute strongest stuff, and it kind of speaks, I think, to like a lot of like Moffat's strengths, which is that he tends to write best when he's working with his characters that almost kind of live in a vacuum. Like, you think all the way back to Blink, which is like kind of his debut. Obviously he'd written episodes before that, The Empty Child, is that what it was called? The two-parter in season one, but Blink was definitely like the episode that got people talking around that time, and it was very much a self-contained story about like Sally Sparrow and these other characters and stuff like that. And then Silence in the Library and everything like that, that's when we bring in River Song, when he's trying to like put his mark on the curve of the universe of Doctor Who. Is when he, I think, falls flat. He tries to take on too much at one time and tries to rewrite too much continuity at once. But when he can just like work on a character, he can do really well.
He's better in small doses.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have an idea, unfortunately, with Doctor Who, because I suppose there's so many episodes, he doesn't seem to have an idea to put together a season arc.
Right.
I mean, in Sherlock, I think perhaps Mark Gatiss has got more control. They're a little more 50-50. And you can see there, that there is a little more restraint in Sherlock. And while there is an arc in those three episodes, perhaps it's because he's only writing, he's writing three feature episodes with somebody, feature length episodes with somebody who can probably rein him in. Whereas, dare I say it, and the same thing happened, in the first, half of the Russell T. Davis era, Russell T. Davis got carried away. And there are certain things that perhaps they're not capable of doing. And, being able to manage that whole season and what do you want, how you get from A to B. They need a Kevin Feige. They need need a Marvel genius to come in and oversee Doctor Who. Not just the showrunner, but somebody who can actually take control of the universe, all the spin-offs, and really put a plan together. And that's the problem with the BBC. Everything's done by bloody committee with regards to hiring. And, Moffat's the golden child, was the golden child, and Chibnall is to a certain degree because of Broadchurch. So, when he was introducing, characters like River, when he was introducing the statues, the blinking statues, he's at his best. When he's writing one-off episodes like The Husbands of River Song or a feature event episode like Day of the Doctor, he's mm-hmm. in it. When it comes to the minutiae and the nitty-gritty, he just gets so up his own ass and is so happy messing with canon just because he can, because he controls everything. And there is nobody there to temper that urge, that he has wreaked untold havoc on the Who universe. Almost as much havoc as the BBC, as the American fans.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm saying that the reason we're in the current pickle we're in with Doctor Who is because of the very vocal American minority on Twitter.
Hey, the BBC does not have to listen to those people. That's up to them to fucking have some guts and not necessarily kowtow to that vocal minority or whatever you know, it happened to be.
One thing I will say:
whoever still buys the merchandise and. Not being bought.
That's true. One thing I will say about this season, season 9 over season 8, was that I think this was a more successful storytelling, I guess, season. I mean, apart from all that sort of, I dare I now say, dumb A Shielder stuff. I don't want to say dumb, sorry. The Shielder stuff that sort of went nowhere. Was the dual episode, the kind of the mini arcs. So he had, I think, five double episode arcs, I guess, and then a couple other episodes in space. I think that actually seemed to work pretty well. Marcus, you said when Moffat has an arc, like a feature length arc to work from, he's able to start, at least somewhat start putting a story together. And he did that with, I think, a few of these, which seemed to work way better than what he did in the first season. The first season, it definitely was Moffat just saying, I'm going to throw everything I want in each one of these one-off episodes and see where it takes us. You know, the Monster of the Week thing. And even though we did have some Monster of the Week stuff here, it was a little bit more contained, I think, and the stories were a little more fleshed out. I most definitely like this season a lot more than that first season. I thought it was a much stronger season because of these two episode arcs. And it wasn't so much of letting Capaldi breathe a bit more, be more Capaldi, but it allowed the kind of the narrative, the plots, the elements that we kind of need, those details to build up around him, so kind of supporting him as the Doctor, as opposed to him being the centerpiece. So let's move on to the next. Just, go ahead. Sorry.
He just can't stick the landing.
He can't. It's exactly right.
You have all of these different sources, including Capaldi himself, saying that this guy is a brilliant writer, saying he's hilarious, saying, you know, whatever. And I genuinely believe that. I think that, you know, like Marcus and Stephen were saying, and, you know, he has shown a penchant for telling really good contained stories, but he has over and over and over again failed to deliver a season-long arc or a series-long arc. Mm-hmm. And – I mean, we could go through every episode and point out, or every season, rather.
There's episodes on iTunes right now that you can listen to.
Yes. How often did we say that there were so many cool and compelling enemies and bad guys that they never came back?
Well,
Or they came back too much.
I don't know if there's anything more egregious, and I know that this is long, than how he handled Gallifrey.
Yeah.
And... Granted, he was sort of handed that from the decision Davies made. But all that buildup and all the hunt and, you know, making it from the very beginning that Capaldi was hunting from what Smith was hunting, you know what I mean? Like, and to finally make it very obvious that's where we were going, and then to hand wave it away in 5 or 10 minutes and never talk about it again, like, that to me is one of the, for all the great Capaldi stuff, that to me is one of the really bad things that I think carries over is the Gallifrey stuff and the years of buildup and the season long stuff, and to just not only not really deliver on it, but to just hand wave it away like we hadn't spent 8 years of Who building up to a moment like that, to go right back to all the Clara crap. Mm-hmm. So who had already died, by the way. Like, she was dead.
Right.
And I mean, that we could probably write a thesis on Moffat and, you know, Clara and the Doctor and everything like that, but that sticks out to me and just such a bummer, because so much of the Capaldi greatness, and even with the hit or miss Moffat stuff, like, all the Gallifrey, and then the Doctor's lore and backstory and everything like that, to me, it's just such a massive miss that it genuinely irks me now thinking about it again.
I don't want to derail anything here, but I am slightly worried that we're maybe just kind of repeating ourselves, like repeating what we've been saying for the last like three seasons here about like Moffat. I don't know how many permutations of this was disappointing. We can throw out. So I did actually kind of want to ask Dally if you wanted to maybe move on to talking about like some of the stuff that we are excited for in this, or you know.
Well, I do want to get into that because I want to talk about the things that we actually liked about Capaldi and about his tenure. We talked about Moffat's effect on him, but what do we like about Capaldi? What do we like about his Doctor? And I'm gonna lead off, and I'm gonna say he did these two major speeches in these seasons, right? He had the one during the Zygon inversion. Thank you for correcting me. Then he had the one at the very end of this past season, which he talked about, you know, doing. I hate to say doing the right thing, but it was about doing what you feel so strongly and passionate about and not necessarily worrying about, not about why you're doing it, I guess. It's hard to put into words, but I loved that speech at the end of this, at the Dr. Falls. I loved Capaldi when he was Capaldi, when he had that rough edge, when he... And I think it was kind of best at the end, tail end of last season, the beginning of this season, where he realized, okay, I am a good man, and I know who the Doctor is now. Finally, it took two and a half years to figure it out, but I know who I am now, and I can kind of be this rough around the edges dude, and still have fun with people and fun with humans and the pudding brains. And so he when he's natural, he is so good, and I loved him in so many episodes of these last couple seasons. I think starting with the River Song, Husband's the River Song episode, which I loved. And then there were a couple episodes here, which I thought were great as well. You know, the Pyramid at the End of the World, I think, was the first episode of that really bad arc, but I thought he was really good in that. There were some other ones I thought was really good in. So, you know, Thin Ice was really well put together. So the Doctor has some really, Capaldi has some really strong moments as a Doctor, especially when he's putting like the whimsy into the character and letting himself have fun, and not, it doesn't feel forced like Dr. 11, you know, like Matt Smith felt really forced when he tried to get sort of humorous at times, kind of out of character. Capaldi's Doctor was that sort of, he's doing this because he loves to do that. Yeah, the sonic sunglasses and rub some people the wrong way, but to me, that is a Peter Capaldi-ass Peter Capaldi Doctor moment. You know, when he puts those things on, I'm like, you know what? Dude wants to just grab his guitar and rock out. And I could kind of see that, and I kind of like that. I kind of respect that about him. And I think there were some, those touches that you know Capaldi brought into the character were so good, and they shown so brightly in the episodes throughout the seasons that I think all the stuff we liked about any episode or any moment we liked over these last 3 years were probably the ones where Capaldi was Capaldi and not tied. And I think you can tell what those episodes are. And I think his legacy lives in those types of details and those types of moments. So yeah, I loved the Doctor when he was Capaldi as a Doctor. And I think that, to me, those moments surpassed maybe any other Doctor moments that I've had since New Who came back. And that's all I got to say about that. Anybody else want to chime in, or am I just kind of blabbing away?
I think that's it for the podcast. So
look, you're not wrong. And I think we're all in agreement that, you know, we've rehashed this over and over, and like, you know, Sean said, this has been a recurring theme for us, and it's not been Capaldi's fault. He has been the old star dropped into a mid-league team and expected to carry the franchise. And you know, he's done the best that he can. There have been some shining moments. He has brought an intelligence and a cancerousness to the role that we haven't seen in a while. But that first, can we just all agree perhaps that first season with Capaldi needs to be annexed, and, you know, like a gangrenous foot
Yeah.
Let's pop it off and put it in a bag and send it for incineration. And look at it from the next two seasons and the River Song, Husbands of River Song. Because the other two Christmas specials were wank. I mean, the last the superhero one, was it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that I think that was the one that killed me. That's the one that started the heart attack. It was so fucking bad. It should have been called Moffat's Revenge because he listens to this podcast. And after several years of being bashed and pillowed about, he wrote an episode so bad that it basically started a shutdown cycle on my heart.
I'm going to get you, Marcus. That was his thought, purely.
Basically, yes.
But what did you love? Like, what were those moments that you loved from Capaldi's tenure? I mean, you mentioned Husbands of River Song. I think that episode is beautiful.
Well, I mean, that you know, that had a maturity about it that, you know, no offense to the other actors. I mean, and, you know, Tennant in particular was fantastic. Matt Smith really grew on me. Eccleston was, you know, not there long enough to really, you know, warrant any sort of like major, you know, major investment of feeling. But yeah, you could see with Capaldi that when he was angry or when he was frustrated or cantankerous with people, it was because he cared and he was frustrated. And it's not, he didn't really want to show that he was the guy who cares, the doctor who cares. But I think, you know, he wanted to, you know, he couldn't, that version of the doctor couldn't help himself.
I like that read.
That's the only way he could really communicate those issues, in my opinion.
I like that read because it actually kind of makes me retroactively like reconcile some of that stuff with that character, because so much of what I disliked about the Capaldi run was not even necessarily like, I think Capaldi was doing the best with what he had a lot of the time, which we've again said it many times at this point, but what really broke me on, I think that is like, if we want to like really boil it down, you know, Marcus, you're just talking about like, I know you were joking about the heart attack and everything like that, but talking about like at the point,
I don't think he was.
Oh, wait. Okay. Well, you know, you could take it that way. But I there was definitely a turn. We've been doing this podcast for years now. And there was definitely a turn at some point where the tone of our show changed with the tone of the show that we watch. And I don't think that this is necessarily just like a we want to be negative type thing. Like, we're not some YouTuber out there like trying to intentionally like pick apart the 22 things we saw that were wrong in this episode of Doctor Who. Like, we're not doing it, you know, for that reason. We want to love the show. But at some point we ran into a point where we stopped, like we fell out of love with it. And I think a little bit anyway, maybe not with out of love with Doctor Who as a entire concept, but with like what we've been watching for sure. And I think for me, a big part of that was the turn from like the Rick and Morty-ishness of it all, almost like this, you know, diet Rick and Morty-ishness of it, of this whole idea of, well, he's the smartest guy in the room because he is so nihilistic and because he's so angry and everybody else just isn't smart enough to see how bad everything is and how stupid they are and stuff like that. And all that stuff. And Moffat, I pioneered a lot of that like current cultural moment that we live in with Sherlock. Like, Sherlock is such that show with like the character on, you know, Sherlock, Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock is fucking Rick Sanchez of like, well, you're not unhappy. You're not depressed and unhappy and angry because you're not smart enough to be. You're not, you know, and this is not something that is by any means like a completely new thing, even though it is like a weirdly like pervasive like meme in pop culture right now. But, you know, it's something that's been going back to like House, or, you know, like to name another, you know, show pioneered by like a famous British actor. You know, that whole kind of like thing is so contradictory to what I love about Doctor Who and what I've loved about Doctor Who going back to like, even like, you know, I wasn't watching Hartnell stuff when I was a kid and whatnot, but when I did get into Doctor Who for the first time, I went back and watched a lot of Pertwee and Tom Baker and all that stuff. And there's a joy there and a just general love of the universe and just like the shoddy, colorful, psychedelic, weird, like hacked together version of it that Doctor Who puts together oftentimes. And I just didn't, like, with Moffat at the reins, I just didn't feel that. Like, and I haven't felt it for a long, long time because of that. And I want some of that earnestness, some of that, like, the just little poking joy at the universe stuff to be there. With Capaldi, I think Capaldi is able to sell it in the best, at the best of times. I think he's able to sell it in that way that Marcus just pointed out, the idea of, like, him being angry because he's frustrated, not because he necessarily thinks that being, like, being depressed makes him the smartest man in the room or vice versa, but because he is depressed because he wants people to be smarter than they are, which is a very fine line to walk, but I think just the, like, power of that character, especially towards the end when he really knew what he was doing, when he really knew what his character was and found his footing, that stuff is really great. And he could command that even against what I think is probably a generally, like, poor philosophical position on Stephen Moffat's part. But who knows? Like, I mean, I'm basing that off of the two shows of his that, well, I've watched Coupling as well, but that's kind of a different thing. But his two breakout shows right now, and I think he kind of, I think that's kind of Moffat's trick, like his way of, like, getting past writing problems, like his inability to maybe necessarily, like, write a compelling plot across the entire season or even across an entire episode half the time, is that he replaces a lot of that with his sort of, like, myopic worldview in a way that, like, carries maybe Sherlock. They've only had to do 3 episodes of it per season per 6 years or whatever, but just doesn't work on Doctor Who.
I think I disagree with some of that only because I think that no, that's a lot of valid points, especially mm-hmm. across Moffat's body of work. But what I think with the power of hindsight is, and sort of way, I think the beginning of this tenure is making it easier to forget how happy we were during most of this last season. Because up until, I think it was the really disappointing payoff to, what was it, Pyramid at the End of the World or The Lie of the Land or whatever?
That's the third of that of those three.
Yeah, we were pretty happy with where things were going. We liked the way they were handling the mystery. We liked that the episodes themselves, while standalone, weren't really disappointing. So, I don't know. I think that it's really easy to look back on the whole Moffat body of work and feel the way Stephen feels, or look at it like that and sort of that Moffat, you know, worldview or whatever. But I caution against forgetting that there was some real good stuff in there. And the character, the Doctor's arc from that whole am I a good or bad person thing at the beginning to the very end where he does his really big speech and gives both of the masters his explanation. And really the answer to that 3 years later is actually one of the better subtle things about the Capaldi run that I do think Moffat for the most part figured out. Now, whether or not he figured that out in spite of himself and whether or not that's because everything Capaldi touches turns to gold and he really elevates the material is a different conversation. But I do think there are things like that splintered through, or, you know, scattered throughout that help elevate it higher than, like, let's say a fair amount of the Smith run. And I don't know. I don't think it falls as low as some of the other things that Moffat winds up touching. Is it disappointing because it could have been brilliant instead of, you know, good, sometimes great? Absolutely. But I don't know. I think it's really easy to lump it all together and sort of have that more negative view of it. But there are some real gems in there. And he had a fairly good, what was it, 5 or 6 episode run, 6 or 7, mm-hmm. in the last season where we were all like, well, you know, in fact, I distinctly remember we were saying there's no way that Moffat had anything to do with some of this because that this last season wound up being consistently good in a way that most of them in the last 4 or 5 years hadn't been. So I think Stephen's take
is... I do remember us not throwing caution to the wind. I know there were some blinking lights that said, before we get too excited, he's had a good run. He's on a hitting streak now, but we haven't made it to the championship game yet. Relax.
And that's when I talk about our general disposition turning, that's kind of what I mean. Because there was definitely a time when we were watching Doctor Who and talking about it regularly on this show, I think more towards the very beginning of the Moffat run, especially around the Silence, and during the Donna Noble stuff too, and some of the David Tennant stuff even before that, where we would have just thrown all caution to the wind and would have just gone headlong into it. And that's how I want to feel about Doctor Who. I want to feel the general sense of, even if it's going to get bad, that I don't feel it is so consistently of a certain tone that I can't like find a certain joy in picking it apart. Whereas at a certain point, like that's kind of what the show became, was it just, I mentioned this before, of just like us repeating ourselves so often, but, and even when it was good, it was, we were repeating ourselves and saying like, let's not get too excited here. You know, it could all be every episode we would codify everything by saying like, well, it's Moffat, so it could all get fucked up by the end. Oh, well, it's Moffat. You know, we would say that every week for long stretches there, even when it was good. And I,
oh, sure.
And, you know, but there are great moments in it and stuff like that. I just think that, you know, and that's, I will also say, that's not entirely Moffat's fault either. Like, the world changed around Doctor Who in a way that made it, like, maybe a little bit harder to be blindly optimistic or blindly earnestly, like, enjoyable around anything. You know, maybe not as much with the last season of Doctor Who, just because things hadn't gotten quite as bad then as they are maybe now going into this Christmas special. But there is definitely a certain like general malaise over like pop culture and like its place in the world when the world feels the way it does sometimes, that is kind of hard to escape, at least for me. I don't want to speak for you guys, but it is tough to just like blindly enjoy something when you think to yourself like, well, I really want to throw myself into this movie, but like it's something that I run into in my job a lot, that, well, people talk about this constantly, about like the idea of, mm-hmm. you almost feel like you're doing something unimportant when you're writing the films. Yeah, I'm trying to get it to silence.
You know, look, I think you're right. I think I misinterpreted a little bit at first, but the point is proven by this very episode recapping Capaldi. Yep. We're spending more time talking about Moffat and his impact than we are talking about how great Capaldi was, because Capaldi was fucking great. He was fantastic.
Yes, he was.
And a lot of – and you know, the difference is I think – Capaldi is so good, whereas we looked at Matt Smith and we thought, well, imagine how potentially awesome this could have been with a better writer, a better showrunner, and Smith deserved better. With Capaldi, there's no doubt. There's no doubt at all that he elevated the material, and very few actors would have been able to make this show what it was, given the direction it was going in and given sort of what Moffat was running it as. And yeah, to your point, Steve, even now we're talking about that, and it's a shame that we're not – spending more time talking about his speeches or the nuance of his character or how he would react to certain things or certain environments or certain characters, Missy and the Master and all that art. Like,
I can't even remember half of it.
And that's kind of the thing. And for better or worse, Moffat left a massive, massive footprint on not only the show, but how we talk about it, how we digested it. And, you know, and it is a shame, but I think – in spite of that, with Capaldi more than anything else, we had some really, really fun stuff the last couple of years, some really good Who. And honestly, I think sometimes he helped us look past what would have otherwise been pretty dreadful stuff. Not always. I mean, there's some really just gunk in there. But yeah, it's a shame he's leaving. I really wish he would stay forever. Mm-hmm. I think he's not, maybe not at the top of my list, but really close to it. And what he's done has just been magnificent. But man, the show is in just desperate need of new creative leadership. And do I wish he was a part of that? Yeah. Do I wish the direction had been different under him? Yeah. But I'm grateful we had him. And I'm you know, I really do think this last season, minus the gunk in the middle, is probably one of the best we've seen since 2005. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's with Capaldi totally in his stride right now. He's definitely leaving on a high note, and it's going to be one of those moments where we say, man, what if he had one more season? What if he could just continue this stretch for just, you know, a little while longer? With that said, though, it's probably the best time for him to leave, because we're only left with like great thoughts of that, you know, the last kind of run of Capaldi. So, I think it's perfect timing for him to gracefully bow out, being on sort of a high as a doctor for a lot of fans and him as the actor. But it's always going to be a what if. But I'm glad that he's leaving, because obviously Doctor Who, the doctors come back eventually through one-offs, through specials, through whatever. So I would not be surprised if he makes a return you know, down the line as, you know, in a special, in Christmas specials on the line. So who knows? But it's good timing for him. It's bad timing for us. It's perfect timing for him as the doctor to say goodbye. Well,
I hope he's happy.
I hope. You know,
I hope he's happy with his run. This was a lifelong dream for him, and he really did a magnificent job. I hope he leaves having accomplished what he wanted to. I would be really bummed out if he wanted it to go a different way or he was ultimately unhappy with how it played out. But I hope he had a really good run. So, and I hope he knows just how brilliant he was.
I think so. I think the best Capaldi episodes were probably some of the best episodes of modern Who, of new Who. When you kind of think about it, he had some phenomenal highs. There were low lows, which I'm just not going to attribute to him, so I'm okay with that. And but his high highs were so well done, so good that it, you know, if you just look at those, it is the highest watermark to put in for you know, for the character. So I'm really hopeful for going forward for the next Doctor and the next Doctor and the next Doctor to come anywhere close to matching those highs a couple times a season would be perfect. Would be perfect. Well, with we're at an hour here. Surprisingly, we were only supposed to speak for a half hour. We've made it all the way to an hour. I know Marcus has to get going. A couple of us have to move along. I kind of want to close on two things. One, with us just kind of saying goodbye, you know, thanks to Capaldi, and then just our hopes for the Christmas episode and what we want to see coming out of that. Well, we know what's going to happen out of that, which is his regeneration, but what's, you know, our thoughts and our hopes playing into that. So let's start with you, Stephen. What are your kind of feelings towards this Christmas episode? What are you looking forward to? What do you want to happen kind of coming out of it?
Definitely the biggest thing for me, and this is something I've talked about in previous Doctor departures, going back to Tennant, every Doctor seems to get in their final episode this moment to basically, like, give a little tiny, you know, we talk about speeches, but, like, almost like a... They do everything but turn to the camera and say, hey, this is how I feel about my run as the Doctor. And just to Sean's point a minute ago of, like, I hope he is happy with how things turned out. I would like to see what his little, like, final words towards the audience and towards Doctor Who fans is. The part that almost feels like it's written by him. I want to see that, and I want to chew on it a little bit. I want to, like, after such a kind of an uneven run and stuff like that, I want to hear his thoughts about it in the most, like, pure way that we're going to get, I feel like. Because I feel like also Capaldi's never going to say a bad word about people he works with, because he's just not that dude from everything we've seen of him in interviews and stuff. So this feels to me like our chance to kind of get his coda in a way that doesn't necessarily feel too super influenced by just, like, professionalism, like professional ethics. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Do you think, to that point, really quick, I don't want to divert this too much. Do you think, though, he would say such glowing good things that they weren't true? Or do you think it would just be sort of passing compliments? Like, he calls Moffat a brilliant and funny writer, like, multiple times.
Yeah, I don't know. You probably probably a mix of – probably a bit of column A, but a bit of column B. Like, maybe he, yeah. Like we've said, like, Moffat can be a brilliant writer when he wants to be, but at the same time, maybe he's just focusing on the brilliant parts and not focusing on the parts where it's not so brilliant, because there are parts that are not so brilliant, right?
Sure.
What about you, Sean? What are you looking forward to?
I love multi-doctor stories. They're one of my all-time favorite things about the show, because it's something you really can't see in almost any other TV show or movie, with the exception of things that maybe play with alternate dimensions. So I'm really excited for that. I don't really know if I'm looking for anything in particular. I just wanted to Wedding of River Song, or River Song Good, or Husband of River, whatever that episode was called. I want it to be that quality. Because they're working with something really special here. Husbands of River Song. They're working with something really special here that they don't get to do too often. I just want it to be good. And Capaldi really deserves a fantastic exit. And regeneration episodes are always tough. And this, more than anything in the last 5 or 6 years, really marks the end of an era in pretty much every way imaginable for Who. So I hope that they really nail it. That's my take. I just want it to be good. That's all I want. So,
Marcus, what about you?
Well, I hope it's if it follows the pattern of every other year being a good one.
Hmm.
Every other Christmas special has been a good or a great one, and you know we got last year's dross out of the way. I hope it's a fitting farewell to Capaldi, because he deserves a really good, juicy goodbye. I unfortunately caught one of the trailers that played in between Graham Norton last week doing the commercial break, and I'm pissed that I am, because there's a pretty major plot point spoiler of somebody appearing who, you know, in there that I didn't really need to see. Other than that, I've sort of like gone in pretty cold. I just hope it, you know, Capaldi and Moffat bring their A game and go out with a bang. Because yeah, I don't, you know, this, as was just said, this is the end of a very, very long era in Doctor Who, not just with Moffat and not just from the reboot, but, you know, we are going into really uncharted territory. That could make or break the show. Did it need a kick up the ass? Yes. I still maintain that Moffat should have gone 2 years ago, after Day of the Doctor. I think that would have been, after Husbands of River Song, maybe. That would have been a great way for him to sign off. Signing off alongside one of his characters and giving somebody else a good 2 year crack at Capaldi. It's going to be interesting. And look, I'm going to be totally honest with you. Once that regeneration scene is done, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this show anymore.
Hmm.
And look, and I'm sorry. I mean, it is just, it's been such a part of my life. And we are talking about going off in a different direction that will appeal to a whole new audience. And that's fantastic for that audience. I just don't know if I'm going to be part of that audience or not. I have to wait and see. I've been so undecided. And I still am. I mean, you know, and that's like, it's taken, you know, I mean, I lived through one Doctor Who, Doctor Who going away the first time in the 80s, in the late 80s, and, you know, coming back for a shitty TV movie before coming back in 2005. And, you know, this has been with me since I was born. And I know it's obviously been with you guys since you were born technically, but, you know, I've always had access to it all through my formative years. And for it to be, you know, the removal of, you know, one potential really positive, non-violent male role model in this increasingly nasty world where the only role models kids have, boys have in particular, the male ones rather, are violent or despotic or egotistical. None of them really celebrate intelligence anymore. I mean, you know, you could say, oh, Tony Stark, he's really smart. But at the end of the day, he's also, you know, very cocky, very arrogant, and, you know, very violent. I mean, we're talking about the one male role model that I can think of that doesn't pick up a gun, that abhors conflict and violence and always tries to talk his way out of it. And that, you know, I mean, that's now going to become a strong female role model, which is obviously a great thing. For, you know, for so many people, but I just, you know, that's just the one bugbear for me. And yeah, will it be interesting once we record the Christmas special and we start the build up to the new season, how are we going to go? And I mean, I hope to God it's a fantastic new season. And I hope that, you know, I can come around, but, you know, I'm also of a certain age. So yeah, it's going to be very bittersweet for me. And, you know, people say, well, you know, the show's outgrown you, bugger off. And I'm like, fair enough. I'm a dinosaur.
I think that was brilliantly put. Doctor Who obviously means different for you than for the three of us that maybe have grown up with Who already, you know, it's sort of in the public knowledge, and more with modern Who than older Who. But I'm going to say that the thing I'm most looking forward to is the tie into classic Who. And I'm loved, loved, loved An Adventure in Space and Time. Loved it. I thought that David Bradley, is that his name? His portrayal of the First Doctor was phenomenal. It moved me that, I mean, I know it was set up for the 50th, the 50th anniversary season, but that film moved me, and I still watch it regularly. I think I take it out of I bought the Blu-ray. I take it out every a couple months, pop it in and watch it again. And it still has this really nice, great pacing, really moving scenes. And he played Hartnell with so much passion that you believe that David Bradley is William Hartnell. You believe he is that First Doctor. So bringing him on for this special, I thought was perfect. It's not at least without really, I've only seen one trailer, that very first trailer. It doesn't feel like it's going to be a bastardization of the character, because Bradley did such a good job as the biographical side. That bringing him in just feels natural for that role. So I'm really, really, really excited for that. I renewed the kind of joy and enthusiasm I had for that original Doctor and what kind of individual he was. So that I think is really kind of cool. I think most importantly, I'm looking for closure and that graceful exit. And I think this whole past season, Capaldi knew that it was his final season. The Doctor knew that as a character, as a being, his time was coming to an end. I think he sort of played out his final season that way, and I think that's what made him so compelling this year. When you have when you know that the end is nigh, you kind of change your mindset a bit, I'm assuming. And so the Doctor did that, and I'm most, more than anything else, I'm curious to see how he passes that torch, like what he goes into, what mindset he's in when he does that, right before he hits that regeneration. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very hopeful for it. There's a feeling inside that it's going to get screwed up because of everything that Moffat wants to do to finish off his tenure. And I'm terrified of that. So I'm less than cautiously optimistic that it's going to turn out the way that I want it to turn out, but at least he got the First Doctor in there, and it's Capaldi. And if anybody could save it, it would be Capaldi. So I'm holding out hope for a Christmas miracle, but right now I'm less than enthused that it could happen. So I'm not even getting into any of the rumors or any of the newer trailers or any of that kind of stuff, but we'll see. I'm just hopeful it's a graceful exit for Capaldi. I guess maybe that's the best way to put it. So, well,
fair enough.
I do want to get into, just really quickly before we sign off here, I know we've got it going, a couple of the comments we had asked through Twitter of what people thought of their favorite Who moments. Sheila Friend, who is, I believe it's SL Friend 79 on Twitter, says, favorite moment is Dr. 12 playing the guitar on a tank at The Magician's Apprentice. Favorite episodes, Deep Breath, Heaven Sent, and The Doctor Falls. I totally agree. Heaven Sent and The Doctor Falls are great. Hellbent, didn't like it, but Heaven Sent was the wonderful lead-in when he's punching the harder-than-diamond material. Our good friend Chris Noonan says, the husbands of River Song. I know some people don't like Melody, but I have a soft spot for the Ponds. And that was a beautiful send-off for the character. Closure is so rare in the Moffat era. Also, everything with Bill and Nardole. Alan Paxton, our good buddy, also says, has to be his war speech in the Zygon inversion. And Mike Zero says, you and I think alike, Sheila. I couldn't agree more. Special shout-out to Capaldi's version of Clara's song, too. It was beautiful. So a lot of good thoughts. A great point about the closure aspect. River Song had a kind of that final closure. The door was shut on her character. It felt right. I just wanted to feel right for Capaldi. Capaldi as the Doctor. I just want that door to be closed and say, we've told our story. It's over. Let's move on. With that said, it's time for us to move on. We will be back probably next week at some time. We're going to see if we can coordinate our schedules to talk all about this Christmas episode. But we do encourage, as usual, that you comment, tweet at us. And please tweet nonstop at us all through the rest of this weekend, all through the Christmas special and afterwards. Tell us your comments. Tell us your thoughts. We totally appreciate it. It's great to be back chatting. I know we may be up and down based on schedules and content that we're trying to figure out what to do with Doctor Who. We always have ideas. We never have the time to implement those ideas, so please bear with us. We'll try to stay in your heads, though. You can find us at Lonely TARDIS on Twitter, Lonely TARDIS on the YouTube, LonelyTARDIS.com. Individually, you can find us. I'm at Dolly Domovsky. Steven, where can we find you?
That's still at Steven Strum, STEVENSTROM on Twitter. I write for Zam.com, ArsTechnica.com, and several other places, but those are the main ones you can get to me.
Sean, where can we find you?
Predominantly on Twitter, at Sean Norton, SHAUNNORTON.
Predominantly on Twitter, but also lurking in the shadows.
I'm everywhere.
In the shadow. Marcus, where can we find you, my friend?
Please send all hate mail to Annoyed Gamer.
He does tweet once in a while again. I know he had sworn it off for a bit, but he checks in every once in a while.
Who could blame him?
It was just a really nasty toxic space. So I am happy to jump in every now and again, say hi to my peeps.
Yes.
But more than 10 minutes on Twitter, and I can feel the palpitations kicking in.
Well, one thing we may try to do over the next week or so here is talk Last Jedi, because we all have some pretty major thoughts about it. So don't be surprised if we mix in a special Last Jedi episode conversation, which might pop into the Lonely TARDIS here. It is space related, so and it's set in a galaxy. we'll chat with everyone. We love you guys. Have a very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Anything you celebrate, we hope you enjoy it. We hope you have a great next couple weeks here. We will see you very soon as we discuss the Christmas episode and everything else going forward. We will talk to you later. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Happy holidays.